Please be seated. It has been said that if we only had the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, it would be enough. For in it, we hear about four views of God, two of which we hear about in our reading for today. A coin lost through no choice of its own. A sheep that strays because it hasn't the sense to know better. The other two you know as the prodigal son. And it is about a boy who chooses to get lost but learns the hard way what real love means. And then the brother who rejects pure love and chooses hatred and self-righteousness when he could have known pure joy. So today, the question we have to ask is, which story are we living? This gospel within the gospel rocked the theological world because it bears the true heart of God. A God who searches for the lost and is wounded when we stray. It is a dramatic clash between the judgmental religious who believed that God longed to obliterate the sinner and God's only Son who came to die for us while we were still sinning. Crowds are pressing in around Jesus to hear his teachings. All manner of people make up this community. They gather around Jesus for numerous reasons. The disciples to receive instruction. The Pharisees and Sadducees keep tabs on Jesus' radical teachings. And people who do not really belong anywhere because they live on the fringes. They are the tax collectors and sinners. They are the people no one else wants to hang around with. But they are here. This strange group of bedfellows, hardly a dinner list any of us would put together. And here they are eating with Jesus. If you are, after all, known by the company you keep, Jesus has completely thrown the community into a panic. The side conversations begin immediately. And so the Jesus community begins to fracture. The whispering starts. Who invited them? Why would Jesus embrace this woman, this man? Does he not know who they are, what they do for a living? Who is this Jesus? He talks of godly things on the one hand, and yet he eats with them on the other. Preceding the questions, Jesus begins to address the growing division in the crowd by talking about the nature of God in terms they can understand. And he approaches it on economic terms, talking about things they value. He wants them to think about what is most important to them. For example, the shepherd values the health and safety of his flock, his source of income. The woman values the hard-earned money she has scraped together and saved to feed her family. Think of the most precious thing in your life and what it would be like to lose it. Whether through carelessness or intent or theft, something on which you place extreme value goes missing. You would be devastated. Not that you cannot continue. You can. People adapt. But life becomes incomplete. Part of the whole is missing. God is like the shepherd who values each sheep in the flock. Like the woman who accounts for every silver coin in her purse, God treasures every child of the family. And when one goes missing, God goes into search mode. God's nature is love. And love looks like one who goes out tirelessly searching. Because the one who is lost is so lost that they cannot find their way back home. And we, the church, are called to do the same. Over the last 11 months, I have been asking someone to step up and take on our shepherd ministry. And to date, there have been no takers. Because of this, I believe, Bob believes, many of us believe that parishioners, visitors, newcomers slip through the cracks here more often than they should. So I want to share a story about what a shepherd ministry might look like. A member of Grace, one who had been attending services regularly, stops coming. No one knows why. And after a few weeks, a parishioner decides to visit him. It is a chilly evening. The parishioner finds the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for the parishioner's visit, the man welcomes him in, leads him to a comfortable chair near the fireplace, and waits. The parishioner makes himself at home, but says nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplates the dance of the flames around the burning logs. And after some minutes, the parishioner takes the tongs, carefully picks up a brightly burning ember, and places it to the side of the hearth all alone. And then he sits back in his chair, silent. The host watches this in quiet contemplation as the one lone ember's flame flickers and diminishes. There is a momentary glow, and then its fire is no more. Soon it is cold and dead. Not a word has been spoken since the initial greeting. The parishioner glances at his watch and realizes that it is time to leave. He slowly stands up, picks up the cold, dead ember, and places it back in the middle of the fire. And immediately, it begins to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the parishioner reaches the door to leave, his host says, with a tear running down his cheek, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for searching me out. I will hopefully see you on Sunday." You see, a simple act of reaching out saves someone who was lost. And it restores the entire community as well. There's also a story of an old man sitting on the banks of a river, and he sees a scorpion floating in the water. And when the scorpion drifts near the man, he reaches in to rescue it and is stung by the scorpion. And a bit later, he tries again and is stung again, and the bite swells up his hand and produces much pain. And soon another man passes by and sees what is happening and yells at him, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Only a fool will risk his life for the sake of an ugly, evil creature. Don't you know you could kill yourself trying to save that ungrateful scorpion?" And the man calmly replies, "My friend, just because it is in the scorpion's nature to sting does not change my nature to save." You see, it is in God's nature to save, because it is in God's nature to love. God seeks the lost, heals the wounded, forgives the offender, and gives hope to those who are in despair. It is what God does. And it is what we are called to do each and every day. At work, on the street, in our clubs, wherever we find ourselves. At the 10:30 service, whenever Deacon Jeanette is not here, I dismiss the congregation with these words: "We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." These are more than just words. They hopefully speak to a deeper part of each one of us. That as we leave this place, we are to share what we have learned, practice what we have heard, feed to others what we have been fed, love the unlovable, and help the unwilling. Face it, folks, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, God is crazy about you. All of us. And what is most valuable is not what we have in our lives, but who we have in our lives. When one in our community goes missing, we are all affected. When one is restored, we are all better off for it. And that is how it is in the household of God. Thanks be to God.